Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. If leftist policies are so great, why don't they work? If they work so well, why don't they work? And if you notice, all the people out there that are going off and promoting all the left-wing policies, all of the great socialism, doesn't want to live under it themselves. It's they want the policies for you, but they don't want to have to abide by it themselves. And we see that all over the place. And with the leftist policies, what do we notice about every area in which the Democrats are in control? It's a complete disaster. High homeless rate, high poverty, high crime. The black community is devastated. So the question is, if you think left-wing policies are so great, why don't they work? And why is it that leftists are fleeing states overrun by Democrats? And we have seen people and companies fleeing left-wing states in droves. That was reflected in the 2020 census, whereby we saw that there was great reductions in California, New York, Chicago. Left-wing cities and states across the country are losing population as people are fleeing the disastrous policies of the Democrats. And yet we have another example of this. Disney. Yes, Disney doing the California adios will relocate 2,000 employees to Florida. So here's another situation in which we have the woke, the leftist corporations, the will support every left-wing idea whatsoever, is once again fleeing left-wing-controlled states for, get this, Republican-controlled states. So the article reads from the red state. There has been rumors of this occurring, but our piss-poor California press buried it. While the particulars look a little different, what this ultimately translates to is a loss of tax base and clear signs that a California institution is taking the slow boat to better shores. The Walt Disney Company announced the company is relocating about 2,000 jobs from Southern California to Florida. The company is building a new facility east of Disney World where the workers will be based. Most of the workers relocating hold positions involving digital technology, finance, and product development in Disney Theme Park Division, who are not working at Disneyland or for the International Theme Park. Okay, so you got Disney, which has gone all in with the left, all in supporting whatever crazy, dumbass thing the left wants to do. And they're living in a left-wing paradise, right? California. Completely dominated by Democrats. There isn't a single left-wing policy, a single left-wing idiot idea that the Californian government will not implement. And now you have Walt Disney taking a look at this and going, yeah, you know, trying to operate here sucks. We can't get anywhere. So we're going to leave this left-wing state with all the policies that we promote in place, and we're moving to Florida to a Republican controlled state because it's better. And stories like this have become commonplace, whereby a wokeist company, left-wing Democrats are fleeing these states in droves to Republican-controlled states, where you start seeing things like, don't California my Texas, or don't New York my Florida, where as people are seeing the mass exodus from these left-wing states for Republican-controlled states, people in the Republican-controlled states are like, whoa. Don't you come here and screw our state up like you screwed up the state that you had just fled. Now, there could be some argument, of course, that some of the people that are leaving places like New York, Illinois, Chicago, and California, that the people leaving there are just what's left of the Republicans in that state trying to get away from the Democrats. Okay, maybe some of that, but the actual data shows that it's, by and large, a lot of Democrats trying to flee the state that has implemented all the policies that they claim to support. And they have seen what a complete and total disaster it is. And there's also a lot of indications that the people after fleeing the states, some of them have learned their lessons. And as they leave these Democrat-controlled states for Republican states, they are registering as Republicans, because they don't want to screw up another state like the one that they just fled. Because if they keep moving around and screwing up state after state after state by electing Democrats that will just screw everything up repeatedly, then there will be no place left for them to go for. And we're starting to see this great divide in the United States. So much so that I believe there was a poll, a YouGov poll or something, where it's saying that the majority of both parties are actually starting to think about, hey, secession would be great. Now they're trying to say on the left, 66% of Republicans support secession to leave the United States and join a new or form a new country. Of course, they leave out how high that number is among Democrats. And yes, we're starting to see that there is becoming a great divide in the United States. And part of that is because the Democrats view the United States as irreparably horrible and evil, cannot be saved. And so everything, our Constitution, our rights and liberties, all of that must be torn down, stripped away, overthrown, democracy itself, and then rebuilt under a left-wing socialist utopia, a utopia that is always promised but never happens. Every time they implement their socialist utopia, it is a hellhole, a nightmare, marred by mass corruption, death, and starvation of the people. And then you got the other side that is saying, hey, you know what? Let's stop taking the worst policies of every failed country and just keep on doing what made America successful. Limited government, individual rights and freedoms. You know, especially the First and Second Amendment. And so we're starting to see that there are irreconcilable differences among the two parties. There used to be, at least for a period of time, where the differences were not massive. There was just a slight difference about how to go about getting the same results. Now, of course, the Democrat Party, they have been, for the vast majority of American history, the cancer on democracy. They were the party that was behind slavery, Jim Crow, segregation. They fought against the civil rights movement. They have been the moral stain on this country. And yet today, when you hear them talk, they try to act as though they are the moral leadership, that they've been on the right side of history every time, despite the reality being them on the wrong side of history on about every major issue. Yeah, I know. I dropped my pen, but I don't edit any of this stuff out. So if a mistake happens, I don't edit it out. And so, yes, more and more people are thinking, hey, we just need to divide the country in half. And a large part of that is because it becomes hard to reconcile differences when half the country, or about 40% of the country, wants to just completely obliterate the country and just rebuild everything from the foundation up under a repressive authoritarian regime. And the other 40, 45% of the country decides, hey, no, we don't want to do that. We need to get away from that, repeal all of those regressive backwards policies, and recommit to individual liberties, freedoms, and get Big Brother out of the business of running our lives. And then you got the other 5 to 10% of the country that, you know, doesn't really pay attention and doesn't know really what's going on and doesn't really have a whole lot of an opinion one way or the other, or thinks, okay, maybe we can have some sort of hybrid situation. But when you actually take a look at what's going on in the culture, what's going on in each of these states, you realize that the support for all these left-wing policies is not as high. It's just virtue signaling. Yes, we're going to promote all of these policies because we're going to virtue signal and hope that that leads to increased market share or increased public perception so that we can just make a whole bunch of more money, because if we side with the Democrats, no one's outraged. You know, the Republicans, the conservatives, they don't engage in boycotts. They don't get upset. And so taking actions against conservatives and siding with the liberals has zero consequences. But if they go against the liberal movement, oh, they get all upset. They get vocal. The left-wing media goes off and amplifies their voice. They start trying to engage in organized boycotts and all of that. And so right now, it's the fact that one side is all engaged and we're going to burn you down if you don't side with us. And the other side is like, well, you're a private business. You can make whatever decision you want. We just may find alternatives, but by and large, we're not calling for mass organized boycotts. But these same companies that go off and engage in promoting all of these left-wing ideologies policies, while they promote them, they don't want to live under them themselves because they wouldn't be able to operate. There would be no way for them to be able to turn a profit. There would be no way for them to be able to actually conduct and run their business. So just like the individual people, after voting for Democrats who are just like locusts, go in and completely destroy and devastate an area and then move on, completely insane because they think, okay, when I move to the next area, I'm going to keep doing the same thing, vote and support the same things, and just hope for a different result. So yes, we see this, where Disney is yet another example of a company that promotes all the wokest policies that are now fleeing the Democrat-controlled states where all the policies they claim to support are implemented. And of course, they're headed towards Republican states. Why? Because Democrats can't govern. They destroy everything. No one can live under the repressive authoritarian nature of the Democrat Party. And everywhere you see the Democrats in control, you see high poverty, high crime, and a devastated Black community. And yet, when you go off and you take a look at Republican-controlled states, you see prosperity, a prospering Black community, you see low crime rates. So when you go off and you actually take a look at everything, you see that conservative policies work, liberal policies don't, and yet you see so much of the media and the entire Democrat Party just trying to proclaim that they have all the solutions, trying to proclaim that they are the ones who can govern, despite all of the evidence, facts, and data to the contrary. And to understand why everyone's trying to flee left-wing controlled states and cities, you only have to go off and take a look at the views of the Democrat Party. For instance, take a look at the Education Department's civil rights nominee, which rejects the presumption of innocence for accused students. So remember, our entire system of justice is based off of the idea of innocent until proven guilty, but the Democrats want to flip that around and say that you are guilty until you are able to prove yourself innocent, which is a ridiculous standard because being able to prove that you are innocent of a crime is very much impossible in most situations. You pretty much have to be able to have video from a third party, date and time stamped, of you being completely in a distant place, you know, like an hour or two away from where the alleged crime happened at the time that it happened. And anything short of that, it's almost impossible to prove that you are innocent. But of course, we also know from the left that even if you have video evidence on video, at least in police shooting situations, whereby it was a justified shooting, whereby the cops are being shot at, and they killed the person when they returned fire. Even when you have that on video, they reject the video evidence and still push a false narrative. And so we see here that they are trying to go off and say, if you are accused of a crime, the accusation itself means you're guilty, means that you should be condemned. Unless, of course, you can reach the unbelievably high standard of being able to have third-party evidence, video evidence of you being on the other side of the state or other side of the country at the time of the alleged incident. So the Biden administration's nominee to lead the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights told the Senate committee Tuesday that a year-old Title IX regulation does not require the presumption of innocence for students accused of sexual misconduct. And so they're trying to go off and play the word game and going, well, there is no presumption of innocent within the regulation of the statute. It's a presumption of non-responsibility. And so they're playing the word game here, where we realize that in the school situation for sexual misconduct, it's not a criminal proceeding. So it's not necessarily guilt or non-guilt, but responsible or non-responsible. They're just synonyms for the same thing. And afterwards, she tried to walk it back a little bit, but still decides that the presumption of non-responsibility, the exact language that is used, still does not apply or should not be the rule of the day. And so the Democrats' idea here is that you are guilty of whatever it is you're being accused of, unless you can prove yourself innocent, which 99% of the time, you can't prove that you didn't commit a crime. That's why our system of justice was off of the idea that you're innocent until proven guilty, that they should be able to prove that you committed a crime, because proving a person committed a crime is something that is possible. Proving that you didn't commit a crime is impossible, because no matter what you come up with, they can come up with a different scenario. Okay, you were somewhere else during the time of the alleged crime. Okay, maybe we got the timing of the alleged crime wrong. And so they can keep going off and changing the narrative, changing the story, changing their theory of the crime and the case, you know, the time, place, and manner in which you did it. And so even after you've gone off and you proved yourself innocent, if you're able to, of the first scenario, they just change, okay, maybe we got this aspect wrong. But then there's, you know, this idea and that idea. They can go off and keep changing the story until they can find something in which you're not able to prove yourself completely innocent of. And that's why our system of justice is based off of innocent until proven guilty. If they want to take away your freedoms, they have to prove that you did something wrong. But the Democrats, they want to flip that around. And they want to flip that around in all situations. And they're trying to claim that there's a rape culture and that all women should be believed. Unless, of course, those women are going off and accusing Democrats of sexual misconduct or improper behavior, then it's the women who must be demonized. This whole all women shall be believed only goes one way, only when they are accusing Republicans of something. I mean, we saw that in play when it came to Kavanaugh. You know, there's a large portion of the population that will always think that Kavanaugh was some master or big rapist going off and, you know, abusing women with zero evidence. They're not able to prove it, but because they made the accusation, that's what's going to be purported. And then you take a look at accusations against Democrats, accusations against Joe Biden, for instance, and the media will attack the women. It's complete hypocrisy. And so we'll see this here on colleges, where the women, you know, if they want to destroy a man's academic career in life, can just make an allegation because they feel slighted, or they're fighting against the white male patriarchy. And so they can just make up accusations without any evidence or anything to prove their claim. And then the administrative procedures will be like, well, you made the accusation, therefore we will take action. And the person could be completely innocent of the crime that they have been accused of. And we have all seen the stories of Democrats engaging in hoax crimes, making up allegations that turn out to be completely false, or committing the crime themselves against themselves, you know, just staging a hoax crime and getting caught. And then we've also seen situations where women have made false allegations of rape for various reasons. You know, they thought the relationship or the one night stand was something more than what it was, or that the person hurt their feelings or whatever, and they want to get back at them. And under the environment, they believe that there is no consequences. Now, this isn't always the situation. There are rapes that do happen legitimately. We don't have the statistics or nothing reliable to tell us at what rate of, you know, sexual assault allegations turn out to be true versus turn out to be false allegations, because the left has no interest in trying to get accurate statistics. That even in situations where an allegation was proven to be false, the left will still include it in the statistics that they try to push to claim that there is a rape culture. And so we see why it is no one wants to live under left-wing policies, because they're tyrannical. It's anybody can destroy you if they disagree with you on anything. And who would want to live under a system? I mean, that's basically where the rest of the world is, that you are guilty unless you can prove yourself innocent. And if you take a look at the countries in which the Democrats want to praise, you know, you take a look at Europe. They say, we need to be a lot more like Europe. Really, a lot more like Europe, where you could be jailed and imprisoned if the government doesn't like what it is you're saying. Where if you post an opinion on social media, your opinion is considered a crime if they disagree with it, if the government disagrees with what it is you're saying. You don't have a First Amendment right anywhere. And that just being accused is all it takes to condemn you and punish you, no matter if you're innocent. No one wants to live there. No one wants to live under left-wing policies. Everyone wants to claim that they support it, but no one wants to live there because it's all, because it's authoritarian, it's repressive and oppressive. So why is it then that the Democrats have about 40% of the country that are completely loyal to them? Well, it's because the Democrats rely on lying, pure propaganda, and they start it at the very youngest age of our education system. See, they deny an education to students and replace it with propaganda and indoctrination to the point where, as we know about ideological subversion, no matter how much facts, data, and science you show them, they are unable to come to any sensible conclusions. They're unable to process or handle any information that doesn't align with what it is they are told to believe. And we see this in story after story in the public school system, which have really hit the headlines ever since the critical race theory and how parents have started to figure out what is actually being taught to their kids in the public school system and are outraged, because the benefit of COVID and the schools being closed is that parents finally, for the first time, got to hear what the teachers were saying, got to hear the lessons, got to hear what it is they were pushing on to the kids. And they realized that what the teachers were claiming and then what they were actually doing was two different things. And so we see here in another situation, elementary school lesson compares illegal immigration detention centers to World War II era Japanese American internment camps. So Matthew Foldy, journalist for the Washington Free Beacon, tweeted about a purported lesson in which included a video that shown to students as young as 4 years old. The lesson was said to have taken place in North Glen Elementary School. In the video, a narrator points to two images, one of people being detained at the U.S.-Mexico border and interned Japanese-American in World War II era camps. The narrator says, "What do you notice about these two images? What looks the same? What looks different?" The narrator later continues, "Japanese people and all Asian people were experiencing a lot of racism. That's like bullying someone for having a different skin color. And they were being told that they don't belong in the United States. This is becoming worse for Asian people living in the U.S. at this time, especially Japanese people." And then the video goes off and makes a direct comparison to illegal immigrants being held at detention centers. Okay, now think about this. A four-year-old is not going to be able to understand the distinction between the two situations. And that's the point. They're trying to get them at a point before they have any ability to develop reasoning skills, not that they're going to learn any reasoning skills in the public education system, and push this type of crap on them as young as possible. But let's go ahead and look at the difference here. In the World War II internment camps, we're talking about American citizens who were born in the country. And the issue with them is not based off of what they actually did, but rather the fact that they looked like Japanese, who we were at war with. Yes, the Japanese internment camps were moral atrocity. But of course, the video leaves out which political party was behind the internment camps or led the internment camps. Isn't that amazing? Because here's yet another situation in which the Democrats are using what their party did in the past, the disgusting actions and behaviors that their party engaged in, and then using that to justify doing more. I mean, this is the Democrats. The only way to make up for past discrimination is current discrimination. And we must continue the line of discrimination swinging back and forth between who we discriminate against, because that's the only fair thing to do, according to the Democrats. But again, yes, the World War II internment camps were horrible. We were confining American citizens who did nothing wrong because of the way they looked. Thank you, Democrats, for yet that moral stain. But then we go on and we take a look at detention centers for illegal immigrants. These are people being held not because of the color of their skin or ethnicity, but because the actions that they took were illegal, plain and simple. We say, this is how you apply to enter the country legally. Doing this is illegal and violates our laws. And then people go off and they go about it in the manner in which violates our laws. And so just like anybody else who commits a crime, there are punishments. They are held. They are arrested. I mean, if someone goes off and they shoplift, we arrest them. not because of the color of their skins, but because of the actions that they engaged in. Another distinction is the people being held at these immigration detention centers are not American citizens. They have no rights in our country under our laws. They have no right to be entering into the country. We don't have open borders, at least not under what the law actually says. Now, the Democrats may push open border policies and ignore our immigration laws, but the video itself does not explain, nor does a four-year-old really comprehend the difference without detailed explanation between holding American citizens who have done nothing wrong in detention facilities or internment camps and holding foreign nationals trying to sneak into our country in violation of our laws. There is a big distinction there. But what the Democrats are trying to do is they're trying to raise a generation that believes in open borders, that we are just one world government, and that everyone should be able to flow freely from one country to the other without thinking about the devastating impact of what mass migration would entail. You know, we go off and we take a look at the reason why it is we have immigration laws and immigration policies, and also not explaining the difference between holding people innocent of a crime and holding people who violated the law, not providing that distinction, and then only showing that, you know, minorities being held while excluding all of the other racial groups that are also held in immigration detention facilities who are caught crossing our borders illegally. This is also designed to try and create the impression that America is systemically racist, has always been systemically racist, and is irredeemable. Even today, systemic racism. And they don't provide the distinction between the two situations, nor do they go off and provide what party was behind historic examples of racism. So they're being taught to support the party behind all the moral atrocities, hate the party that put an end to the moral atrocities, and trying to make zero distinction between the internment camps of World War II and immigration detention facilities today. This is our education system. This is what the left does. They base everything off of lies and propaganda, half-truth, in order to manipulate an uninformed public. And of course, big tech and the media is all there to censor and suppress the truth, because ensuring that they're not exposed to actual facts and data for the first 18 years of their life or 20 some years of their life helps complete the ideological subversion so completely that as adults, they're unable to take a look at what actually happened and come to any reasonable, rational conclusions. And of course, what is the mindset of the teachers pushing this in their classrooms? Critical race theory, trying to make apples to orange comparisons and claim it's apple to apple comparisons between the internment camps and the immigration detention centers. Well, these are the same people that say, if you disagree with us, then you should die. Let them die, is their response. So as you know, by now, a parent teacher association and NAACP official demonizes parents against critical race theory. And so here it is, the Democrats go off and they lie about what critical race theory is and what it teaches. They claim, oh, this is about history and teaching about slavery. And if you're against critical race theory, you're trying to deny the history. You're trying to whitewash history. And yet when you actually take a look at critical race theory, it's not about history. It's nothing that they claim it is. It's them trying to teach hatred and racism to students. And so because they can't defend their positions, they can't defend what it is that they're doing, they go off and they attack. And you notice this in all situations here. When it becomes any disagreement, the Republicans, the conservatives, argue the issue. They argue the facts. They argue the details. The Democrats, they go after the person, demonizing the person. And of course, just like they lie about what it is that they are teaching in critical race theory, they lie about the people who are against critical race theory and attack and demonize them. This is the left. They can't defend the positions. That's why they have to lie, push propaganda, and engage in personal attacks. While conservatives, being the much smarter of the two parties, argue the issues, argue the facts, argue the data. Ironically, though, what I find to be frustrating is that people, when you take a look at, you know, the 40-45% of the population that are, you know, going to be Democrats no matter what, the issue is they think that the personal attacks is and the baseless accusations is a more compelling argument than taking a look at the data and facts. Why? Because they're unable to analyze data and facts. Remember, the part about ideological subversion is that no matter how much facts, data, and evidence you present to them, they're unable to process it and come to any sensible conclusions, which is why when we as conservatives argue the facts, data, science, evidence, it falls on deaf ears. It gets nowhere with the 40-45% of the country that is completely indoctrinated through ideological subversion because they can't handle it. They can't rationalize or analyze it, which is also why they always fall for left-wing lies and propaganda going for the personal attacks because they have been raised to be mindlessly trained to go after and think in that way, that personal attacks and avoiding the data is the way to go. And while all of this is going on, the Democrats have something new to be outraged about, and that is a federal judge has said that DACA program is illegal and issues a block on new applications. So a federal judge in Texas ruled in favor of blocking new applications for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program on Friday, stating that former President Barack Obama did not have the legal authority to offer protection to undocumented children brought into the U.S. from being deported. The ruling by the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Texas, Judge Andrew Hannon, ordered the Biden administration to stop approving applications immediately. But Hannon noted that current recipients will not be immediately impacted. To be clear, the order does not require the Department of Homeland Security or the Department of Justice to take away immigration, deportation, or criminal action against, or doesn't order them to take any of these actions against DACA recipient applicants or any other individuals that it would not otherwise take. Hannon was appointed by former President George W. Bush, said he believes DACA violates the Administrative Procedures Act, which dictates how agencies develop and implement regulations. Okay, so here's the thing. How the hell did it take this long to get a ruling that DACA was illegal and unconstitutional? I mean, it was blatantly illegal and unconstitutional from the moment of inception. So how has it been allowed to go on this long? Of course, Trump tried to go through and end DACA, and they tried to say, no, you can't end DACA, some court said. We don't like the way in which you're going about ending DACA, or more specifically, we don't like what we think your motivation is. Not whether or not you have the authority, not whether or not DACA is legal or illegal under the law. We just don't like what we presume to be your motivation for wanting to end DACA. And now we finally have a ruling that clearly states what we all know. DACA was illegal and unconstitutional. The executive branch does not have legislative authority. It does not have the authority to pass amnesty. And, you know, we can go through here and take a look at this and go, well, okay, I get sort of how you don't want to just immediately take away DACA, you know, from people who have already been approved for it. I get that. You think that somehow we should honor something, even though what it is that you want us to honor was illegal and illegitimate from the get-go. Because remember, the only people that can pass immigration law and decide on amnesty is the legislative branch. And so this is one of those situations where I just ask, how did it take this long? And then you take a look at the ruling and you realize it's very narrow in scope, just saying you just can't accept new applications. You can't accept new people seeking applicants or DACA. Which, of course, you don't want that because then, you know, people just keep coming over illegally just so that their kids can get under DACA. And this continues the flow of illegal immigration and violation of our immigration laws. Now, of course, the left is upset because they think somehow we have an obligation to the children of illegal immigrants. We don't. And they think that, you know, because DACA's been in place illegally for so long, well, that's because there have been attempts to end it and left-wing activist judges have gone off, and because they couldn't rule on the merits of DACA, they couldn't rule on the legality of DACA, they made rulings based off of, well, we just don't like what we think your motivation is, therefore you can't do it. But this also gets to the heart of a much larger issue here, and that is, where does the executive branch get the authority to create new laws and just call them regulations? Where do they get any such authority? They don't. But they tend to try and go off and act as if they do, and they try doing it all the time. Any regulation not directly voted on by Congress, which acts as law, which has an enforcement and a punishment mechanism, and yet it wasn't passed by Congress, is not legitimate, is not an actual law, rule, or regulation that they can enforce. And if they try to enforce it, sue the hell out of them. I go through here, and I don't think this ruling goes far enough. It should definitely block any reapplying for current recipients, but it should immediately have ended the DACA program. It should not have just been limited to you can't accept new applicants. It should say DACA's ended. There are no people protected by DACA. You must enforce immigration laws. So while this is a small victory, yes, it's still a victory. It doesn't go far enough. These is another example of a judge who knows what the right thing to do is, but lacks the backbone to actually do it to any real or great effect. Too weak need to go off and defend the Constitution fully. Does a half-assed job with a watered-down ruling. Okay, so yes, okay, no more new applicants. Now, what do we do to those who are currently in this illegal program? You just declared and just confirmed that DACA is wholeheartedly illegal and unconstitutional. So why is it that you're not going off and completely ending it immediately? You're, by your own admission, DACA is illegal, but you're going to allow it to continue for current recipients. How is that you doing your job as a judge? How is that providing faith in our institutions? Think about that. And that's what we get with conservative judges, a watered down, half-assed measure, no matter how clear the law is. And yet the Democrats are upset that we're not accepting new applications and that their bigger victory of allowing those who are currently on DACA to remain on DACA, it's not good enough for them. Now, whether or not this will allow current recipients to reapply in the future and such, well, I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of appeals. Of course, the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund says that they will appeal this decision. Yeah. Now, I don't get why the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund is involved in this, because we're not talking about American citizens. But all of this could end up just being a mute talking point if the Democrats get their way. Because right now, the Democrats are trying to get amnesty into their infrastructure bill. What does amnesty have to do with infrastructure? I don't know. I don't know what half the things the Democrats are trying to put into this bill have to actually do with infrastructure. They're just trying to claim, human infrastructure. I mean, they're just trying to claim everything's infrastructure. Therefore, they're just going to put in their entire wish list. This is, again, the Democrats trying to manipulate and redefine everything, manipulate language in order to just pretty much do whatever the hell it is they want to do. And we know that the Democrats' plan here is, as they've been promoting open borders and trying to flood Republican-controlled states with illegal immigrants, that we know that their entire plan, after relocating all the illegal immigrants to red states, is to pass amnesty in order to flip them blue. The Democrats have figured out that, hey, if the voters won't vote for you in large enough numbers without you having to engage in fraud, right, if the voters won't vote for you, engage in fraud. And if the fraud that you engage in have reached levels that you are unable to hide the fraud anymore, then you must replace the voters. It's the Democrats, the politicians, trying to pick their voters rather than the voters trying to pick their representatives. And so, as it's being reported by Hot Air, what better time to push through amnesty for potentially millions of illegal immigrants than during the Biden border crisis? As tone-deaf as the plan is, that is exactly what Senate Democrats are planning to do and the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill, which, by the way, where the hell are they getting all the money to spend? I mean, conservatives are at least consistent on this matter. Whether it's a Republican administration or a Democrat administration, we take a look at the spending and we're like, hey, this is out of control. Now, of course, some people, you know, tried to rationalize and, you know, the massive spending under COVID because of the unusual circumstance. Fine, we should be going through here and trying to figure out a way to pay down the debt, not adding trillions of dollars to it. But the amount of spending is out of control, and we know exactly where this is leading. We have seen in country after country throughout history that have engaged in out-of-control spending, and it led to the complete and total economic collapse of the country and the total collapse of democracy and an authoritarian rises. But the spending is besides the point in this particular article. A decision has not been made on the numbers yet, but Senator Dick Durbin, the Senate Democrat whip, confirmed this week that it will happen. Democrats will try to push through immigration reform in the budget process. Now, if they're trying to go off and push immigration reform in a budget reconciliation bill, that is not allowed. That immigration reform, well, what they call reform, is not budgetary. It is not a part of our finances. So it really actually cannot be included in a budget reconciliation bill. It just violates. But the Democrats, of course, they don't care. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about the law. They hate democracy. So they don't care. They're just making things up as they go and just claiming that everything they do is perfectly permissible. And everything the Republicans do, well, that's a crime. So they're trying to go off and push amnesty. With the big news being reported today that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer wants to bring a trial vote on infrastructure to the floor of the Senate by Wednesday of next week, that would be this Wednesday, this is an interesting turn of events. And so, yes, we knew that the Democrats were going to try and pass amnesty for a long time because they believe that illegal immigrants will vote for them in mass numbers. You can be assured that if the only difference was that illegal immigrants favored the Republican Party, well, then you would be assured that the Democrats would never allow such a vote, and they would do everything that they could to prevent amnesty from ever happening. But because they believe that this is the way to ensure their majorities forever by replacing the voters, importing voters from around the world, and then passing amnesty. And of course, before you get amnesty passed, you strategically locate the ones crossing the borders illegally in Republican states in order to flip them blue. We have no real democracy left in this country. And our votes don't matter. They engage in fraud. And when they get caught and they can't engage in fraud anymore because they have to go to absurd level, they just replace the voters. This is sickening what it is that they are doing to this country. Here's an idea. Why don't you actually just enforce immigration laws? Oh, yes, because they need to import new voters, because American citizens, even with heavy indoctrinations through the public education system, still have the ability to take a look at the Democrats and go, you people are insane. You're too stupid. Nothing you say is backed up by the evidence and the facts. Why there isn't a full-scale revolt right now, I don't know. Because everything that the Democrats do is purposely designed to hurt the country and hurt the population. It's an oppressive, authoritarian mindset on the left. And they spend so much time trying to find ways to circumvent democracy, to get around the voice of the people, to subvert the Constitution. And of course, trying to get this information out is hard because we know about social media censorship. And as was found out last week, the Democrats and the White House are working with the social media companies, telling them specifically what to ban, what to censor, what information to block, which, as we all know, is a violation of the Constitution. When the government starts getting involved and dictating to private companies what they should do, well, then those private companies are no longer private companies, but are the arm and extension of the government. Now, we've known this for a while, but the Democrats have always tried to deny it. Now they're not even denying it. They're trying to say, so? And so we now have the government that used the IRS to target conservative groups in the 2012 election, the government that used the FBI and the intelligence community to specifically target political opponents and subvert a Republican administration. That corrupt government, dominated by leftists, are now admitting that they are fully engaged in online censorship, trying to censor and suppress anything that and any information they don't like, and also in trying to push towards banning people that speak out against the Democrats and their policies. See, this all keeps going on to a reoccurring theme here, which is the Democrats can't argue or debate the actual facts, data, and science. So they lie. They engage in propaganda. They indoctrinate the youth with propaganda. And then they have to censor the truth. They have to engage in full-scale censorship of information, you know, censoring the internet, book burning, all of it, in order to maintain the illusion that there's any credibility to anything that they are saying or doing. It's only through ignorance and dictating what information you're allowed and what opinions you're allowed to read or express that is the source of their power, because truth, data, and facts are always against the Democrats 100% of the time at this point. And no well-informed person would ever, ever vote for the Democrats. And of course, the White House is also trying to push that if a person is banned from one platform, they should be banned from all platforms, all of them, so that you can't just go around and find a new platform in order to get out there and get your views and get information and data out. It must be a complete ban from all platforms across the entire internet, because we can't let the truth get out. We can't actually let rational, informed opinions to be expressed. And what is their justification for all of this? Oh, yes, COVID. Yes, misinformation, disinformation. They're trying to battle disinformation. Of course, that's not true, because the biggest source of disinformation and misinformation is coming from the White House, is coming from the Democrats. If the Democrats actually wanted to get rid of propaganda and disinformation online, they would ban their entire political party from social media and the internet and all of their followers. And this is what we see all the time. The biggest attackers of democracy claiming to be the defenders of democracy. The biggest liars and propagandists claiming to be the purveyors of truth and trying to fight against propaganda. Those who are engaged in the atrocities and the moral failings always try to prop themselves up as the purveyors of righteousness. All right, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening in. Remember, it's just Monday and Thursday episodes that are the full, you know, 40 to 60 minute long episodes. Everything else is about 20 minutes long. All right. And of course, in addition to the audio podcast, I do produce videos a couple of times a week on Rumble and on BitChute. Yeah, you can find it on YouTube, maybe. All right. So if this is your first time listening in, don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you never miss another episode. And please leave me a rating and a review. Thank you so much, and I will be back again soon.